Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. When you are in this path, you may go through some experiences. The one that goes through this experience, he knows what he's going through. And it's going to be difficult for you to comprehend what he's going through. So if in that state he did something or he behaved in a certain manner, then we won't issue a fatwa against him. In a state of extreme happiness, a person blurted out, "O Allah Ta'ala, you are my slave and I am your Rabb, I am your God." And nothing is said against him. Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. He said this in a state of extreme happiness. And these comes famous popular hadith, everybody knows about it. But at the time that he said this, he was not in a normal state of mind. So because he's not in the normal state of mind, therefore we will consider him to be excused. But he's not going to be emulated and followed. Now, you have two different situations. One is a person is genuinely in a state, is going through an experience. And one is that a person is pretending. Right? When a person is pretending, more or less you get to know that this person is pretending. So he's not under discussion, not under our discussion. But unfortunately you get this. One is a genuine person and the other person is pretending. Then you get a third situation. Baat ko bigaar karke pesh karna. Right? To misinterpret someone. Right? You are saying the right words, but you're misconstruing the facts. Right? A simple example for that is, it's your mother, right? If someone says that this is your father's girlfriend, would he be wrong? Would he be wrong in saying so? But what is the impression that is created? The impression that is created is something vulgar, isn't it? But what he's saying is right. Ab ye baat ko bigaar karke pesh karna hai. So you are distorting it, creating a misconcept. So now you get this type of situation as well, where people distort and they don't present things like how we're supposed to be presenting it. They present it in a way, outwardly it seems right. But really it's distorted, it is misconstrued, misrepresented. Then you get a person who's pretending. Right? He wants some type of a commercial gain, so he's pretending. So you get a person coming up and at the time of when the meals are being served, right? So he goes into a state of meditation. A very deep state of meditation he gets into. And then he just blurts out, "Shah, get out, get out." So now they ask him, "What happened, bhai?" "No, there was a talk in the Kaaba Sharif, I went and changed it all." So he is sitting in India, he's already there in the Kaaba Sharif. So he's in a state of meditation, and people like to see this thing that is juicy, this thing that are entertaining. You like to hear this type of stories. In the meanwhile, he's not coming to the masjid, not performing namaz in the masjid, he's doing it all at home. But when you hear this type of a story, then you want to accept it. Kisi aur maqam ko pahunche hue hai. He's at a different level. So sometimes you get another class of person, they want to try it out. You know, let's see now. Let's see this person. Is he genuine or is he putting up something? So the husband went and related the story. You know, my buzruk, he's quietly, she said, all right, he just gave him a dawat, you know. Give him the dawat. So she's not telling the husband because the husband now will become abusive that my buzruk and you're insulting. She's not saying what's the plan. Anyway, so she hosted this person here, the so-called peer, she hosted him, and she presented the plate full of rice, you know, top was covered with rice. So now he's waiting now, the other works, when they're going to come. So he's not saying anything. 5 minutes passed, nothing came. So he says, now, where's the salan? So that wife, she let him have it. So everything is underneath here. The meat and everything is under. You can see the Kaaba Sharif, but you can't see under the rice here. So you have this genuine, you know, and you have the artificial. In everything you get this genuine artificial. So you get another case, like I say, where he's going through a state, mental state, he's going through a spiritual state. So we are not going to be quick in making any decisions against him. We can examine the case and see what's the case like. But we would definitely say he's not to be emulated. It's not a fatwa. He's not to be emulated. He's excused. Because of the state that he is in, he's doing some things. For example, he may be isolated, living all by himself, all alone in the wilderness. So he's away from the town, away from the people, he's living all alone. So we will not say that this person is to be emulated. He's not to be followed. Now a certain state had overcome him, and he went into the wilderness, went all by himself, nobody there with him, all by himself. And he's engaged in ibadat, the whole day ibadat, namaz, hardly eating anything, eating nothing. So we would genuinely say that this person is not to be emulated. Now we have to say these things here because people like this type of things. They like this type of experiences, and they want to also emulate this type of people. So they aren't to be emulated. See, there is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, just trying to make you understand, right, that this is a hal. Right? And what do you do with the hal? When the person is genuine, then what do you do? How do you handle it? It is three people that are locked up in a cave, right? So the one person says, all right, make dua through the wasila of some of your good deeds. So one person gets up and he says that I had old and aged parents, and I used to be grazing goats and sheep, and it so happened that the goats had gone far distance. To herd them back, it was taking me time. You know, goats are sometimes unruly, and to herd them, it's like a task. It's taking me time to herd them. So when I've herded them, it was a little bit late at night, then I milked them. And it was my style that I would feed my parents first, and then my wife and my children. And because I came up with the delay, my parents were fast asleep. But then my routine was I would first feed my parents, then my wife and children. So in the meanwhile, I've come home, and I've got the milk. I'm presenting it to my parents, but they're asleep. So I don't want to disturb their sleep, and I don't want to feed them after my children and my wife. So I stood in that state the whole night, until around the morning they got up, I presented them the milk, then I presented it to my wife and my children. Now when you look at the story here, alright, then Allah Pakh accepted the dua, he opened the cave, right? There's several things that you get out of this. One is respect to the parents, right? One is to serve them, and one is to respect. So you can see there's two things. He's not only serving them, but he's respecting them as well. Because if it is just a matter of service, then you've got to feed his children first, and then serve his parents. He's serving them. But he's not just serving them. With the service, he's showing respect. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. See, you're lowering yourself before them. The second thing you take out of this hadith is this. It was an easy way to manage the whole situation. You could have just halved that container, right? He's got a big container of milk. So he could have halved it into another container, leave it for his parents. And the other half, he could have fed his wife and his children. But he didn't go that route. So now I'm going to feast first get over my parents, then I'll feed you people. Whereas it is his duty, it's an obligation, al-mawludi lahu rizquhunna wa kiswatuhunna. To feed them respectfully is a duty, is an obligation. Right? So he left out this obligation. If you look at it from another dimension, he left out this obligation. But the hadith is praising this person here, showing that he didn't commit a sin. In other words, at that time, the importance and the respect of his parents had overcome him. When he was overcome on account of his parents, he behaved in this manner. So we didn't hold him sinful and wrongful for what he has done. But we will not say that this is something to be emulated. Because like serving the parents is an obligation, then taking good care of your wife and children, it's also an obligation. Both are obligations. But you see now, a certain state overcomes your mind. When it overcomes your mind, then you behave in a certain manner. Right? But for this state to overcome you, then you are held excused. Ma'zur here. And what he's doing, he's ma'zur. So we will not count that as a sin. But you see the things that come out of this hadith. To show respect, number one. Apart from serving, one is to show respect. Then the du'as are answered because of showing respect to your parents. They locked up in the cave. It's a big boulder that's covering the entrance. And making du'a on account of respecting the parents, his du'a is being answered. Unfortunately, this is counted as something very insignificant, right? We'll go to a righteous person for du'as. We'll go to Umrah at the Multazam, we'll make du'a. But these things that are even more effective, then we're not considerate about these things. See that? Just showing respect. So it shows that maintaining of family relationship is so serious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maintaining it and maintaining it with respect, respectfully. Those that are immediate, those that are at distance, immediate or distance, or to maintain all that. Now you want to know why du'as are not getting answered. You want to know there's no barakat, why there's no barakat. Now these primary steps, we are neglecting these primary steps, then you're wondering why things are not working out for us. Immediate people, those that are a little bit of a distance to you. But do we consider them, do we see what's going on with them? Sometimes it's an aged person and he needs to be serviced. And nobody's servicing him. Aged persons, 80, 90 years of age. It's a woman, it's a man. But there's nobody to attend to him. And then we're not attending to him also. Doing everything else we are doing. But this is considered something extra. I tell you, there's greater virtue in this. Muhammad bin Munkadir is a great narrator of hadith, one of the ustads of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. So he would say that my ailing mother, I would be at her side and I would be pressing her feet, etc., doing it, attending to her. Whilst my brother would be engaged in ibadah the whole night, namaz. Imagine, so great it is, right? Allah Ta'ala is at the lowest heaven and he's asking, Hal min mustarziqin? Is there anybody asking for sustenance? Hal min mustaghfirin? He says, my brother is doing this and I am engaged in serving my mother, pressing her feet, whatever khidmat she requires. And I don't want to swap my night with his night. He is involved in ibadat, and I am engaged in khidmat, but I don't want to swap my night with his night. See that? I'm going to run away for Umrah, do all these things here, and then there is someone that's ailing, he he needs attention, she needs attention. It doesn't have to be the parents, but it's your immediate people, uncle, aunt, there's a nephew, there's a niece, someone that requires assistance. And it is difficult for them to stretch out, say, you know, I need some assistance. Obviously, they feel embarrassed, they feel ashamed to come and approach you. But then you need to realize, this person is in some constraint. What can I do for him? How can I help this one out? How can I help this one out here? What can we do for him? What can we do for them? That's called Islam. See, in the same hadith, there's a third person. He says, I had employed someone to do some work, right? And we had agreed on a certain amount of rice. That's going to be the remuneration package. You're going to be doing the work, the remuneration is going to be this amount of rice. Someone say, now, in Nabi Sam's time was there rice. This hadith shows that rice was already carrying on at that time. Because the word aruz comes there. The same hadith, sahibul aruz, comes there. So he agreed a certain amount of rice, this type of work you will do, and he will give you this type of rice. Now, he completed the work as he's giving him his remuneration. He's refusing. He feels that perhaps it's too small and he's refusing. What they agreed on, he's giving him that package, but this person is refusing. So anyway, when he refused, so he took the rice and somehow he invested it, sold it, made some money out of it, sold, resold, until it became an entire flock of animals and a slave to herd all that. The same this rice, this is how it turned out. This person came after some zamana and he says, ittaqillah, fear Allah ta'ala, and return to me what's due to me. My dues return to me. So he says, you see that herd of animal with the herdsman, everything is yours. He says, al tastahzi'u bi, you're joking with me. No, but I'm serious about it. Take this, the herd, as well as the herdsman, everything belongs to you. Right. Now, if you look at this story again from a different dimension, he intended this person, right? He intended the worker, that I'm doing this, I'm investing this for him. But the worker didn't take the remuneration. That remuneration package belongs to the worker when he has taken ownership. If he has not taken ownership, it's not his. So who's really, in principle, who does it belong to? It belongs to the boss. It belongs to him. But now in his kindness, no, I did it for him. My niyat was, I want to do it for him. Let me pass it on. Now it turned into a big herd, cattle or something, and a herdsman with it, right? Now I'm thinking now, in this zamana, if this thing happened, what would happen? So I had that intention, I didn't do all these things here. Now who does this belong to? Niyat ekdam se badal jayega. Hey, this herd now, thing is a big herd, right? Of cattle perhaps, right? So one cattle is about 15,000, 20,000. So it was about 100, 200, then look at the figures, right? Now I sent to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, what is the fatwa in this? This is what we'll ask. Looking at the figures now, what it amounts to. But now look at his kindness. That he's not looking at that, he's looking at doing something for a brother. But this, showing this kindness, assisting, helping out, right? It's so dear in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that became the catalyst for the acceptance of his dua. See, again I'm showing some way how your duas are getting accepted. That man was kind to a family, a relative. This one was kind to someone else. But that thing didn't go waste. It's a means for his duas getting answered. See that? Now we want to know how our duas get answered. You see these acts of kindness, where it was just your due, but that sincerity was at such a level, this person's sincerity, I did it for him, with his need, I did it. Took that same thing, I went and invested the thing, let the thing grow. And I did it for him. I don't want to spoil my niyat. I've done it purely for him, so I don't want to spoil my niyat. Shibli rahmatullah alayh, he got up one morning and his reprimanding himself. See, you know, nafs, there's different levels of nafs. One is ammara, violently commanding wrong. It's wrong, bent on wrong, wrong, wrong all the time. That's one level of nafs. That's every nafs. It just wants to go wrong. It doesn't want to be disciplined. It just want to go off. That's nafs. Then you put it to a training. When you put it to a training, then it comes to lawama. They sort of shout you, hey, this is not right. What you're doing is not right. Correct yourself. So it will put some brakes. It'll keep putting the brakes. Sometimes you're listening, sometimes you're not listening. But that thing is jamming you. By what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not right. It's troubling you. So that is called lawama. It's not letting you go. It's troubling you. You're doing it, but it's troubling you. It's troubling you. You're looking at a girl, you know, it's not the right thing, man. You're talking casually with a girl, no, it's not the right thing. So you may see that there's a break in your heart. Sometimes then you will make use of it and you will stop. And sometimes, hey, forget this, just a thought, no, let me just look at this girl, what's wrong? My niyat is right. See? So you'll have a fight in between. In your mind, there's a fight. There's a nafs fighting with the ruh, with your soul. Temptation against the righteousness that's in you. So there's two forces within you. And they are at a fight all the time, clashing all the time. See, that's the second level. When you're promoting, you discipline your nafs to a certain extent. So it doesn't have the full advantage, but it's jamming you all the time. When it's jamming you, you have to be firm. See, in the masjid, to practice taqwa is easy. Because there's hardly any temptation now. Right? Provided you don't have a phone. Right? I just add that nowadays. Eh? Provided you don't have a phone, then there's very very few temptations. Right? So you can't do any wrong inside the masjid. Unless you sit and chat for hours. So there's another wrong that you can get yourself involved in. But otherwise, the opportunities to do wrong in a masjid environment is quite minimum. Right? That's why I say, by you gave the time for Allah Ta'ala, whether it's today, whether it's i'tikaf, whether it's at any other time. For Allah Ta'ala's sake, why don't you make it like a routine? Keep the phone at home. Now sometimes it's so insulting to the speaker. The speaker is, he's giving a bayan or something, the person is on his phone. Right. Now some people learn something new now. Say, no, you know what? You know your bayan, I'm typing it. Now, there's no opportunity to correct him. But it's a modi of tuham. It creates some type of suspicion. What this person is up to? I'm giving a bayan and he's... Really, this is not on. It's not respectful. I know some old ladies, they complain to me. Old ladies. That means over 75, 80. So what's wrong with the type of guests that we get nowadays? They come with their children 10, 12, 15 years of age. And we are talking. They're supposed to be in the talk and listening to the elders. We talking to the children. So the children are on the phones. They're not even looking at you. They're on the phone. And then the most surprising thing is the elders. Elders are not correcting the children. Right? That's not mannerism. An elder is talking to you. Have some eye contact. Now, you don't have an eye contact. You have an iPhone contact. No contact. There is a respect. And this respect, I feel, is a very serious thing. They say, be adab, be nasib. You don't have adab, you're deprived, you're gone. You don't have that adab. Basic thing. Basic now, man, an elderly person is talking to you, and show respect. And the child does that, then take that phone away from him. Break it, bust it. Let him cry. He must know what is respect. For once, put that importance of respect into his mind. And if you don't do it, then you're creating a problem for your child, creating a problem for yourself. So we're saying, we're talking about restraining yourself, restraining yourself. In the masjid, you can restrain yourself. There's better opportunities. But once you step out of the house, step out of the masjid, now it's a real imtihan. There's so many things attracting, so many things are attracting and pulling you. Wife is pulling you, children are pulling you, friends are dragging you. Now at that time, to restrain yourself, You know, I'm going to go there, I'm going to look at something wrong. I'm going to go there, I'm going to say something wrong. Right? So now here in the masjid, you are acquiring, then you're losing again. You're getting and you're losing. Is that called business? You've got a sack to take your money, but it's got holes and you're filling it up. So the actual imtihan, the actual test that is coming up is as you leave the house, Allah Ta'ala. Now, how are you going to behave yourself? How are you going to restrain yourself? You don't have a chance again now to sit and reflect and think about things. Now you're just carrying on. Are you waiting for the next etikaf? Then I'll come and correct myself. Is that the right way to think? Right? You need to correct yourself all the time. Because sometimes you don't correct it in time, the damage can go out of control, beyond control. Someone got cancer at the fourth level, said, oh, we'll postpone it for 2 years. Then it's beyond control. So correct it straight away. Comes in, you correct it. So this fight with the nafs will come all the time. That is the whole life all about, that there is going to be a fight, there's going to be a clash between the nafs, that's temptation, etc., wrong, and right, that's the soul. So these two things are going to clash all the time. So you need to understand that this has to be corrected. Before you touch the grave, you have to correct this thing here. And you don't correct it, you're causing problems for yourself. Causing pythons, scorpions, all problems for yourself. Fire, you're causing it for yourself. Just that this is not visible now. See, the hadith says, person did not pay out his wajib dues, his compulsory dues, right? He didn't pay it. So it's converted into a python, and that thing bites him. And it says, Ana Kanzuk, I'm your wealth. So you understand that your evil deeds, they are transformed into some evil shape. Right? But just that you cannot see it now. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالِ يَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. You are eating that wealth unjustly, you're filling your belly with fire, right? But you can't see the fire. Yes, you can't see the fire, it's right, you can't see it now. That fire just needs the right, that what you have eaten, it just needs the right type of exposure. Like, someone has got kerosene, or he's got petrol, right? What we say, it's fire, don't play with this, it's fire. Yeah, but there's no fire, I can't see fire, it's so cool, relaxing. See how that thing is cool. But just give it a little bit of exposure, see what happens. Then that thing results into an inferno. Don't we see that? So the same, you eating that haram, the surat, the appearance is not fire. But just give it that exposure, the right type of exposure, and see what happens to it. So you see the wrong that we are doing. We need to correct it all the time, all the time. And the easiest way I found, in simple language, I'm not talking the high words of fana, adab, respect your elder, and go and relate to him. This is my problem. Am I doing the right thing? Is it right for me to do this? I'm getting involved in this. What must I do? Go and keep talking to him. Rather than now saying, now what will the elder think of me? And before he had a good opinion of me, now his opinion of me will be lost. But you don't keep away your sickness from the doctor because the doctor had high regards, you got a good health. Is that making sense? The doctor has got high regards for my health, so therefore I'm not going to relate to him about the illness that I have. The stupidity that is. So you must go and correct, repeatedly go and correct yourself. Go and correct yourself. Don't wait, don't postpone the thing. So we're talking about Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullahi, and he's got a fight going on in his mind. So the Ruh is telling him, the good is telling him in him, that Tuto Bakhil, you are a Bakhil, first class miser you are. And nafs and temptation, they want more all the time. They say, no, I'm not a Bakhil, I am a generous person. Because nafs wants more, wants wealth, wants control, that's what the nafs wants. It wants control and it wants wealth. Because in that wealth and control, it sees everything coming up. Luxuries, comforts, everything coming up in that wealth. So it wants control of that wealth. So nafs wants this. But the Ruh saying, this is not a good thing for you, bhai. You got that control, it's not a good thing for you. Because you are still a child. A nafsuka tifl. The child doesn't know limits. You give it a packet of toffees, keep eating. No, my one friend, he's passed away, Ahmad Gora, Mullah Ibrahim's uncle, right? So before, we used to have kitab reading by his house. So he used to have a fish tank there, and I used to admire the thing. Not that I like to keep these things here. I don't want to keep it, but I like to admire the thing. If anybody's got it, let's go and see the thing. 5 minutes, finish. But to take care and make khidmat of the thing. So one day I went to the house, I see, hey, there's no fish there. What happened? He said, no, all died, man. What happened? No, some child felt sorry, so he saw that fish food, you see. He emptied the whole container. That thing finished his takbir in 1 day. 1 day, one shot that he can finish. Had to die, no? So that thing doesn't know limits. Child doesn't know limit. Your nafs doesn't know limit. So that control is not a good thing for you. We think that control. So sometimes people are working for someone else, for a boss, right? And he feels in constraint, they're taking advantage. But I listen to the problem. But then I think to myself, maybe in the plan of Allah Ta'ala, this is a better thing for him. Because if you were in the position of control, right, it's a difficult thing to manage the Sharia and to be in control. It's very difficult. But if you're a worker now, I got only about 10,000 rand now for the month, I must manage this. So you're finding it difficult, but overall your nafs is in check. Because I can only play around with 10,000, I can't do anything beyond. In that nafs you are seeing, in that wealth you are seeing, everything materializing. But you don't have it, can't make masti. You got it, then you make masti. Give a car, a phone, a wealth, and free time to a youngster. See what happens? There's destruction, pure destruction. You don't have the control, you can't. So sometimes that happens. You're working with someone. Sometimes it happens that Allah takes away your health. Now you got the control, you got the wealth, but the health went away. See? So these things are all blessings. To me, in my side, it's a blessing. Allah took it away, took your health away sometime, he took the control away. So it's not a punishment. Don't count it as a punishment. But just that you're seeing one vision, tunnel vision you're seeing. You're not seeing from a different vision. I consider it to be a blessing. So we're coming back to the story, and they're having it all. Shibli, the temptation and the evil and the good, they're having it out. So alright, it's alright. Let's work it out. Let's make a plan, you know. Come to some closure. It's alright. The closure that they arrived at is the first poor person you see tomorrow morning, you'll give this whole bag 50 gold coins. What? Gold coins. Yeah? They give in mahar nowadays, gold coin. Krugerrand, right? So 50 of that gold coins, we'll give it to the first poor person that we see. Alright? Everything signed and sealed. The nafs, temptation and the soul, both are agreed upon it, signed and sealed. Close chapter. Ladies Fajr namaz came out of the masjid. They are seeing by the barber shop is a half aged blind man now. And let me go and give it to him. Perhaps it's poor from the clothing I see, the ways. So let me go and give it to him. So he comes to that blind Hafizab and he says, Hafizab, you know what? I got this gift for you. So the blind Hafizab says, or you know, Achhe Waqt Par Tum Le Aaye, you brought it the right time. I didn't have the fees for the barber, so just give it to him. How much? 50 gold coins. Nowadays, the whole barbershop industry is overtaken by the Pakistanis. Whole South Africa, they got it under control. The service they can provide, nobody can provide. With the haircut, malish, everything, free of charge, in-house. Price at any time. So he's offering to the Hafizab, blind Hafizab. Hafizab says, I'll give it to the barber, you know. I don't have the fees to pay him. So now Shibli is thinking, but he doesn't know the amount. It's 50 gold coins. So Hafizab, ye to 50 dinar hai. This is 50 gold coins. So the Hafizab says, कि हमने कहा नहीं था कि तुम बखील हो, डिडंट वी से दैट यू आर अ माइजर, ही सेड दैट, ये तो अंदर के चोर को पकड़ लिया, ही कॉट द थीफ, थीफ दैट वाज विदन, ही गॉट इट, यू सी दिस फाइट, दैट्स व्हाट वी नीड टू चेक अप, वी कम हियर टू ट्रेन एंड डिसिप्लिन, टू डिसिप्लिन दैट सोल, करेक्ट इट नाउ, अदरवाइज इट कैन ब्रिंग यू एम्बैरेसमेंट, डिसग्रेस, व्हाटएवर यू कैन. We'll have children telling about complaining about the father. Father is looking at other woman, is looking at porn. So see how disgraceful thing it makes you do. When that nafs is not under control, it disgraces you, it embarrasses you. See, we think only drugs is an embarrassment. All sins are addictive. Any sin is addictive. And every sin brings about disgrace and embarrassment. So correct this thing here. This nafs has to be corrected. It needs to be disciplined. Before you touch that grave, it needs to be corrected. So anyway, he took that 50 gold coins, offering it to the barber. So the barber says, you know what? When this blind Hafiji, he sat down on my chair for a haircut, I made an intention that I'm doing this purely for Allah Ta'ala. So, in thikro ke liye, main apne niyat ko badalta nahi. For the scraps, what he's saying? Tikro ke liye. For the scrap, I am not going to change my niyat. I had niyat purely for Allah that I'm going to do it. Hafiji rejected it, 50 gold coins, and the barbershop rejected it. So Shibli says that day I felt so embarrassed, I went and threw that amount, I threw it away. So Glass Way threw it away. Look where he hears. He's okay, hears. I went and threw it away and said, Jo usko dil lagaye, khuda uska naas kare. Whoever attaches this to his heart, may Allah Ta'ala destroy him, disgrace him. You see this? This control, we like, everybody, all of us like that control. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua is perfect. You can't, you can't find anything equal to the duas of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, Allahumma aj'al rizqa Ali Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kutan. The risk of people of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make it just enough. The word that is used in the hadith is al. Adkhilu ala fir'aun. Right? Now what is the meaning of al? Al, I was looking the meaning up, right? Can be anyone that is close to you. Close to you as a relative, close to you as a friend, close to you in the same lifestyle, same type of life, same type of, you're sharing the same type of ways, all that called al. So you are same, you are sharing something, you've got some things in common, close. You are close in some respects. Right? So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ij'al ala rizqa Muhammad, those that are close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Don't now restrict it just to the family, but those that are close to the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just make the rosy just enough. Kut means just enough. You know, you just break even. End of the month, you break even, starting of the next month again. So much that you break even. Because the moment you got a little bit more than that, then you can't be secure of your nafs. What the nafs is going to do? Where is it going to tempt you? How is it going to bash you down, smash you down? You don't know. So the simple thing, like I gave you the example of that fish, you know. They were restricting that food, so that thing remained alive. But once that thing became indiscriminate, then ended. So your spiritual self dies. When this abundance in the spiritual self dies, it becomes like dead, you know. The life in it is gone. Because it's so much, you don't know where to stop. You don't know where to control. Like you find health problems in this day, right? It's because we don't know, most of it is because we don't know how to control ourselves, correct ourselves, diet ourselves. Right? So, the people will say, people that are supporters of overeating, they say, you know, I must eat and die. Mustn't starve and die. You see, make this type of statements, right? What I'm saying is, but see, if you die overeating, or it's one problem, you may suffer in your old age. Right? But if you get spiritually dead, then there's perpetual problems. There's perpetual problems. Just till your eyes are blinking, you've got some enjoyment. Otherwise, there's perpetual destruction, ruin. Allah pak taufik nasibkan.